Hallelujah. Y'all may be seated in the presence of God. Let's go. Let's go. And it's so funny. So I thought I was so prepared to take this platform today. And when we were standing here in praise and worship, God completely changed the ending of this message. So I'm just kind of taking a second for him to finish downloading on the inside of me what he wants me to say. But let's give it up one more time for this next generation, for these young girls that so boldly took the stage. As a woman who does anything, though we show up and do it, it is not always easy to ever mount any platform as a woman. Most platforms were not built for a woman. So as we begin to teach this next generation, and as we teach them that someone else opened up a door so that they could walk through it, we train them to become natural door openers in the spirit. Amen? So the message, if I had to give it a title today, is called Wrecked But Still Winning. Let me say that again. The message title today is called Wrecked But Still Winning. And if I had to give a thesis statement or a topic or a take-home message, it would be your moment of shipwreck is God's moment of salvation. Your moment of shipwreck is God's moment of salvation. And so if you will, go with me to Acts chapter 27, and I'm going to drop all the way down to the 22nd verse. Brother Daryl, if you could put that on the screen, that would be really helpful. And I'm going to read it from the NLT version. That's the new, Living Testament, New Living Translation. And the Bible says, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. And what's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. We will be shipwrecked on an island. And so once we get to the 27th chapter in the book of Acts, Paul has found himself on the other side of the cross. Paul has found himself after resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Jesus, when he left, he commissioned Paul and the disciples to take the gospel into single territory. And so Paul has been obedient to that call, and Paul was preaching the gospel everywhere. And just like Jesus, Paul made the Jews very angry. And so the Jews were trying to crucify him. They wanted to punish him. And so in the two chapters before 27, I believe around chapter 25, Paul has had to plead his case before Festus, because Festus is ready to take Paul's life for preaching the gospel. Because see, during that time, any act of promoting Christ was a threat against the Roman government that was already established. So as he was threatening this government, he goes before Festus. And then Festus takes him before the next one. And right as they was getting ready to sentence Paul, Paul said, wait a second, you're out of order, because I am a Roman citizen. And so as a Roman citizen, you are unauthorized to do anything to me unless you take me back to my country of origin and let them find me guilty. So he pleaded with them that let me go back to Rome and plead my case to Caesar. And then if Caesar finds me guilty, because I am a Roman citizen and he is a Roman governor or the Roman official of high standing, he was the only one who's authorized to give me punishment. So he says, it shall be as you will. So here it is now. We're going to jump over to 27. Let's go to the beginning of the chapter. The beginning of the chapter, you see them mounting the ship. And they get on the ship in the middle of the Adramatia, whatever that word is, Adramatum. And they're getting on the ship, getting ready to sail to Rome. And I want you to envision that this ship where they are is near Jerusalem, which is more on the Asian side of the country. And they got to go from Asia to Europe. I don't want you to imagine these modern day ships with all of the bells and whistles that we have now. This was no luxury cruise. This is Bible time ship. And so Paul, along with 275 prisoners, sailors, captains, and Roman guards, now mount this ship in order for him to go present his case and find out what his judgment is going to be from Caesar. So the first place that they go, because the ships during that time carried cargo, and they had to go to frequently travel to different ports. That's how they made their money. They would go to ports and they would exchange the cargo that they were carrying for the currency that they needed, and they would pick up the next thing that they had to carry and go to the next port. And that's how they were able to sustain for months at a time on sea. So the first port that they go to is a port by the name of Sidon. And when they get to Sidon, Paul is a prisoner in chains, but his guard's name is Julius, and Julius gives him permission to go and see his friends and get cared for. Because, see, Paul, this wasn't his first rodeo. Paul had already been beat up a couple times before he got on this ship, so he already kind of knew what was in store for him. So, but he found favor. He found favor with his capturer, and he allows him to go off with his friends, and he gets, the Bible says that they fixed him up a little bit. Whatever wounds he had, they patched him. Whatever hunger he had, they fed him, and he came back onto the ship. They released the cargo, they got the new shipment, and they went on. And the Bible says that the moment that they left Sidon, they get back to sea to go to the next port, and the first obstacle that they come up against is something called a headwind. I had never heard of a headwind before. But as I began to think of a headwind, I think about when God tells you that you're going someplace that you've never been. And when I look, Paul had been on several ship journeys, but he had never been to Rome. And so when God tells you that you're going someplace bigger than where you've ever been, and when he gives you a vision of something that you've never seen, the first place that the enemy is going to try to fight you is in your head. So I can only imagine that when these sailors and when these men got on the ship and the headwinds came, that they were reminded of all the negative thoughts that were just swirling around them. Am I big enough to take this journey? Can I handle everything that God says to me? Can I formulate my words to even stand in front of Caesar? See, if you've ever done something that was bigger than yourself, you know the first thing you have to win is the war of your mind. The first thing you have to do is get control of this thing, because this thing can take you to some very strong places. But the Bible says that the headwind was swirling, and it swirled so much that it got them off course. Have you ever gotten so lost in your thoughts that you cannot even remain focused on where it is that God is trying to take you? Have you ever just lost time daydreaming, replaying things in your mind? God is trying to take you to another act, but you keep replaying the same scene over and over and over again, and the opposition is gone. Baby Goliath is dead, but you keep imagining yourself in the same valley trying to fight the same war that you already had victory over. And so I can only imagine that they're on the ship and God has already said, I'm taking you to the other side. But they cannot deal with what was swirling around in their mind. So the first place they go to is they get the headwinds and they get off course. And when they get off course, the Bible says that they end up at this port called Fairhaven. Now, Pastor Jeff prophetically said that the season has shifted in here. And for these men, the season has taken its first shift. And they're shifting into a wintertime season. And when you get to Fairhaven, Fairhaven is not the place you want to be in the wintertime. Because, see, Fairhaven is not a place that's fortified. It's not a place that's populated. It's not a place where you can go and shop and easily get what you need. Matter of fact, it's a lonely place. You see, the first, when God told you he's going to do something big with you, he's going to remove every distraction from you. He's going to expose you in ways that make you uncomfortable. You're not going to have the comfort of your friends. You're not going to have the comfort of people, places, and things. It can be a lonely season in your life. And so God is taking them to Fairhaven. And at Fairhaven, it said that they were vulnerable. They were exposed. They had to deal with the things that they tried to hide. They didn't like being at Fairhaven. So they said, let's move from here. But the man of God said, if you move in this winter season, if you don't let God continue to finish processing you, if you don't let God finish what he's trying to do in this place, you're going to shipwreck. You're going to lose your cargo, and you may lose your life. But at Fairhaven, they couldn't deal with that. They didn't want to let God process them at Fairhaven. So they didn't listen to the man of God. The captain said, Paul, I respect you as a prisoner. That's why I allow you to speak. He said, but we're going to move on. So as I begin to read this chapter, y'all, there were four major winds that I saw that they encountered on this journey. And I said, well, Lord, what causes a wind to happen in somebody's life? Where does this wind come from? Because I don't mind on a hot, sunny day having a nice breeze blow across my face. But when I looked it up, a wind comes when the earth is not in alignment with the sun. Oh, when the earth begins to shift as it's rotating on its axis and it misses its alignment with the sun, air will try to creep in to fill the holes that are there. When we, this earthen vessel, this thing that came from dirt, when we are not in alignment with the word of God, we give access for the winds of life to come into our life and begin to fill spaces and places that was only designed for the Holy Spirit to come. And we begin to get confused and we begin to get off track like how they did. But there's always a man of God that will tell you what to do. There's always a man of God that's the echo of God's voice that so far ahead of you that he can say, no, not yet, baby. Stay right where you are. God has you positioned right where he wants you to be. He's processing you. He's pruning you. It's going to hurt for a little while, but he said you have a destination that he's taking you. He said he has some place where you're going. So sit in it for a second. Don't get scared and run from the hard place. Don't get scared. to the man of God. They got in a ship. Matter of fact, they didn't even like the ship that they were in. They thought they knew better than the man of God. So the Bible says that they exchanged the ship that they was in, and they got into an Egyptian ship. Because, see, when things get hard, we like to go back to what we know. See, the children of Israel, they knew Egypt. They were cultivated by Egypt and slavery for 400 years. We go back to what we know. When God destroys certain boyfriends and girlfriend relationships, oh, but when they call, we can go back so easily because that's what I know. I know that thing. I know that call. I know you're going to mistreat me, but I know what your mistreatment looked like, and I can outlive that. So I'm going to go back to what I know because I'm too scared onto what God has taken me to because I've never seen it before. And if I don't see it, I don't know if I can handle it. It's not enough that God telling me that I can't. I don't know it. So they change ships. They get on this Egyptian ship as they're leaving Fairhaven. See, Fairhaven was the place that God was supposed to be downloading some stuff in them. Fairhaven was the place where they was going to internally become fortified to be able to handle this next wind that was coming. But because they didn't stay processed, because they chose disobedience, because they chose doubt, because they chose to give an invitation to the next storm decides to come in as they're on their way. And this storm is a northeastern wind. And when I looked up northeastern winds, this is the type of wind that is strong. And this wind is not just air. This wind has friends that it brings along with it. See, when you don't listen to God in the first place, I think the Bible says that when you get delivered from one demon, but you go back to it and invite seven more to come in, the things that oppose you always have friends. They always got somebody that they talking to you about. They always got somebody that's ready to ride on the coattail of negativity. So this wind didn't just come by itself. It joined with some waves. And see, Euroclydon is what it was called. And when Euroclydon came, they could not control it. Euroclydon started to just move them to and fro, to and fro, to and fro. They was just tossed like a wind without a sail in the middle of the storm. And so what happened was is that as this captain was trying to get control of the ship, he said, I can no longer steer the ship. And he completely gave up. And just like the storm just started taking him wherever it wanted to go. Have you ever been at a place in your life where you just can no longer control anything? Your one bad decision leads to another, then to another, then to another. Then you realize you're so far in whatever you aren't supposed to be in, you can't even help it now. Then you get a I may as well kind of attitude. I may as well go ahead on and sleep with him. I spent the night. I know I should have left. I may as well go ahead on and go to the club. I messed it up anyway. I may as well not pay my bill. I forgot to do it anyway. They had a may as well. Might as well type situation. And so when they got into the middle of the storm, guess where the storm led? The northeaster led them to what was called a gale wind. Oh, and a gale wind is the lowest point that you can go. It don't get no lower than a gale wind. Have you ever been in depression so low you didn't know if you even wanted to get up, let alone make a call to ask somebody? You did not even know was something light on the other end. You didn't even think about anything being on the other end of the tunnel because it was just so dark where you were. The season was just so bleak. You just... So because they had moments of disobedience, which gave birth to their doubt, which opened up the door for the winds and the waves, see, they didn't listen to the man of God. Because had they listened to the man of God would have said, baby, the thing that you worried about is the thing that my God created. See, you wasn't there when he talked to the winds and he walked on the waves. See, the thing that you think is fighting you is really all controlled by him because you didn't want to embrace your quiet season. You didn't want to embrace the place where he was going to process you by yourself being alone. So now he's got to do it in a different kind of way. Why? Because he's a good father and he knows how to talk to his children. He's the type of daddy. He knows how to train us. So here it is. They're in this story. Mixed with a gale, and guess what happens, y'all? The Bible says that they couldn't see the sun, the moon, the stars. There was no light that they could see for 14 days. For 14 days, they sailed in pitch black darkness. Darkness. Whew. Give me 1 second, y'all. 1 second. 1 second. I forgot to tell y'all, we winning, though. We all winning. We're in the middle of a storm, but we went in. So it's at this point of the journey that they have to throw all the cargo and all the gear off the ship because now they're just fighting for survival. They can't keep it. They got to let it go. They haven't eaten for 2 weeks. It's not the same fast we're doing. But they didn't eat out of fear. They was afraid to do anything. And Paul, thing I love about Paul, yo, is that God was processing Paul this whole time. Because while Paul was on this journey, he had yet to write the books to the New Testament churches. But this, in this process, Paul was understanding certain things. He was understanding that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Paul got revelation that I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted and not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Paul was able to say things like, oh, he's going to work everything together for my good. Paul was able to learn through the process of this journey that, oh, I'm going to forget those things that are behind me because I got to press towards the mark of a higher calling. But Paul couldn't have written those things had he not experienced those things. We are experiencing some things that God is getting ready to use to expand his kingdom. And we are fighting against his expansion process for our life. The thing we're fighting is not really the thing that we're fighting. We're fighting the wrong battle. We're fighting the wrong battle and we're depending on the wrong thing. Let me prove it to you. So the Bible says that the Spirit of God came and visited Paul in the thick of things. In his darkest moment, when there had been no sun, when there had been no moon, when there had been no stars, when they were afraid to eat. And God said, Paul, didn't I tell you was going to Rome? Didn't I tell you you had somewhere to go? Pick yourself up. No one, because of you, no one on this ship is going to die. Because of one man of God, no one who's connected to you is going to die. You see, God doesn't need everybody, but he does need somebody. And because of Paul, because there was a man of God on the ship, everyone on the ship was going to be saved. So Paul raises up in a moment, and he says, I know I'm a prisoner, and I know y'all didn't hear what I had to say the last time. And the Bible doesn't say that he stopped the storm so Paul could speak. Paul had to open up his mouth and speak a thing in the middle of the storm. The Bible didn't say that he changed the season. The Bible didn't say that light appeared and then Paul spoke. The Bible said that Paul had to dig down deep on the inside. He had to know I had a visitation from the Holy Spirit. He had to know. Woo! He had to know in the middle of his storm, in his darkest hour, God was speaking to him, and he had to be bold enough to declare it in front of people who had previously rejected him, in front of people who had control over him. And Paul said, because of the God that I serve, that we're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose the cargo, but we will not lose one life. Let me tell y'all something about this Egyptian ship they riding in on. And even after Paul said what he said, the sailors still didn't believe Paul. They began to conspire because in Roman law, if you were in charge of a prisoner and you lost track of your prisoner who was on house arrest, whatever sentence was assigned to the prisoner, you would be the one to eat it. So these sailors and these officials who were assigned to watch the 275 men who were on the board, they got a little fearful because they said, oh, if these prisoners live and they outnumber us, maybe they might lose their shackles and we might not be able to control them. We can't guarantee that we're going to get them to Caesar. So the Bible says that they conspired. See, just because you have a word don't mean you don't have an enemy. Just because you got the Holy Ghost don't mean the demons aren't on assignment to your life. Just because you know where you're going don't mean that there won't be some opposing winds coming for you. Because what I need to let you know, the thing that God is trying to break off of you is when two opposing winds meet, it's called a front. And God is saying that this is your season to stop fronting. This is your season to let him just deal with you on the inside. This is your season to let him get it right from the beginning. So that way when you show up and where you're supposed to be, you show up in the character that matches the level of authority and anointing that you're going to walk in. Yeah. Yeah, that's what's happening. So let me tell y'all something about this Egyptian ship. Let me tell you something about it. Not only were they comfortable riding in it, but Paul says to them, here's some bread. He said, let me pray for it, because this last leg of the journey, you're going to have to eat to be strong. See, whenever you see bread in the word of God, it's talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is talking about the gospel. And too many of us are okay nourishing ourselves on wheat and grain. Wheat and grain is only a part of the word. See, that's what he was imprisoned to. Wheat and grain represents the law for the sake of this message. He was imprisoned to the law. That's why in his slavery moment, in that Egyptian ship, they were carrying the law with them. And these prisoners were imprisoned to the law. They didn't know that they were going to a new season where they could eat the whole thing. They could get bread. See, you need wheat and grain in order to make bread. And I told you that Jesus had died and rose again. Jesus is in his finished work. We get the whole thing, baby. The Old Testament only had parts of it. The Old Testament only had a hope of this treasure and this earthen vessel that we carry on the inside of us. When the Bible says that he raised bread, he wasn't talking about natural word bread. He was talking this word. He said, you got to eat this word to get to where God is trying to take you. You cannot pick it apart. You got to eat the whole thing. You got to nourish it. Let it be strength to you. And he said, my God said that we're getting to the other side. And he called for men. He said, this is going to be our strategy. He said, we're all at different spaces in our life. He said, I don't care if you got to swim. He said, if you can swim, jump off the boat and start swimming. Start swimming. So I'm telling some of you, God said, get in the water and start swimming towards what it is that he's told you to do. This is the season shift right here. This is where you can be wrecked and still win. God said, jump in the water and swim. See, the word is there. The provision is there. The permission is there. The work is on you. But he said, maybe you're not a swimmer. Maybe you're not ready to swim. He said, grab a plank. I don't care if you got to grab a plank and Nemo out this joint. He said, you get in the way, you got to go. You paddle in with your fin until you get there. And then he said, if they snatch up all the planks and there's not a plank left, he said, I don't care if you catch the debris. See, because what you don't understand is I told y'all the last time, even if you just get a little piece of him, even if you can just get the hem of his garment, you don't need the whole thing to get where he's got to go. There's so much power and authority in just a little bit of God. He said, if you can catch the debris of the ship, hold on to that, because you're going to get to where I got to take you. The reason I got to be wrecked, the reason you can't take the ship with you, reason you can't take the cargo with you is because the ship is the thing that connects you to your past. And he said, I'm wrecking it all. I'm wrecking it all. Everything that you thought disqualified you, today is the day he wrecks it. There's no more access to Egypt. There's no more access to it. The Bible says that they ran up on land too fast. They ran up on the land too fast. Because you're going to end up where God's trying to take you in this season faster than you expected it to. See, not only is there winds that oppose you, but there are winds that come behind to push you. There's the wind. There's the rhema wind of God. There's the rhema wind of God. And it pushes you into your destiny. It pushes you into your next season. And that's what happened. They got pushed into a wind, and they became shipwrecked. And they lost the cargo, but the word of God remained. Not one life was lost. Not one thing was done. And not only did he make it in front of Caesar, he was found not guilty. And then you have Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Two-thirds. But he wouldn't have been able to write it without submitting to the process. You got to submit to the process. Baby, they're going to call you. They're going to remind you of who you used to be. They're going to try to attach the old stuff to you in this new season. Baby, tell them you got the wrong address because I don't live there no more. Return to sender because she ain't me. He ain't you. It ain't that what it is. Let them send it all. You don't got to receive it. The only thing you have to receive is this word. The only thing you have to receive is knowing that you're going where God's trying to take you. And I'm going to end the story by telling you this. Paul and the soldiers and all the people on the ship, when they shipwrecked, they ended on this island called Malta. And let me tell you guys, y'all can sit down. I'm ending with this. When they got to Malta, the people in Malta had never heard about Jesus Christ. Malta was just innocent group of fun-loving people. They were just happy to see him. And they welcomed him like how they did the Gilligan's Island. Hey, welcome. Come on over. And they got welcomed. And as soon as they got off the ship, the Bible says that the snake came. And it bit Paul's hand. And the people said, oh, we were trying to be nice because they were prisoners. I mean, but that man must be deserving of death because they identified him with the snake bite. But the Bible says... The Bible says that he shook it off. And then after he shook it off, they brought everyone on the island to him to be healed. And not only did they bring everyone on the island who needed to be healed, they were all healed. And he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm here to tell you that you're being wrecked into your win. You're being wrecked into your purpose. Don't fight the wrecking, because the thing that you're trying to hold on to is the thing that's destroying you. I'm telling you, submit to this word of God. Submit to what it is that God has for you, and let him carry you across the finish line. Because if he said you're going to get there, the man of God has been decreeing it. I am a second heir. I am coming into agreement that this is our winning season. This is our winning season. There are no more losses. This is our winning season. And the wind and power of God is going to carry us through. Hey!
Hallelujah! Come on. Hallelujah! Come on, somebody. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. I may have been wrecked, but I win. Hallelujah. Because the wind that is behind me is stronger than the wind that is in front of me. Hallelujah. My God. The altar is open. I need my elders. I need my elders up here. You're an elder, I need you up here. I need you. If you're an elder, I need you up here. Hallelujah. The altar is open. I'm wrecked, but I'm winning. I'm jacked up, but I'm winning. I've been left for dead, but I'm winning. I've been messed over, but I'm winning. You cheated me, but I'm winning. I messed up, but I'm winning. Hallelujah. But I'm winning. This altar is wide open because the Lord is interested in changing your heart. Hallelujah. If he changes your heart, you're going to win this game. If he changes your heart, you're going to win this game. It doesn't matter what you did or what you're going through. What matters is the change of your heart. Some of us are still fighting the same giants, fighting the same winds. I'm not even trying that direction no more. The winds. This is the season. This is that process. This is their season. Don't get off. Mm-mm. This is your season. This is your course. But he wants to change the direction of your heart. Because it doesn't matter what boat I'm on. As long as my heart belongs to Jesus, he will do the steering. Get up here. Get up here, says the Lord. Get up here, says the Lord. Because I'm not going to let my past jeopardize my future. Honey, I win. I'm not a quitter. That's the only way I can lose. If I quit, get up here, says the Lord, because there's some things that are going on in my heart that ain't right. There's some things that I haven't forgiven. There's some people I haven't forgiven. There's some parents I haven't forgiven. There's some grandparents I haven't forgiven. There's some things that I enact now because of what my mama did, or what my daddy did, or what my grandfather did, or what my uncle did, or what that friend did. There's some things that I'm acting out on because of what. But God is processing me. That was all. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. That was all a part of you being a winner.
Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch.
How could you win a battle?
Like you.
How can you win a battle if you've never been battle tested? You've been through hell. There is nothing that the enemy can throw at you that you've never been through. You're battle tested. Who do you want to fight in the war with you that ain't never been in a war? You can't fight with me. That's why he battle tested you for this war. Get up here. I said, get up here. Well, Pastor, my ship is wrecked. Honey, you won. Get up and swim. That boat is not the only way you can get to your destination. Jesus will carry you over. You let him. Get up here. Jesus. Get up here. Get up here. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like it. Get up here.
That's not how the story ends. For in 3 days,
Jesus,
he rose again. That's love.
This place, you want your healing. This is your healing.
I love
come get your healing.
Jesus.
Come get your healing.